So the learning tonight should be a schos nishmas Chaim Eloza ben Shimshon Aryeh. It should also be a schos for Fu Shleima, for Chaim Moshe, Yeshua ben Malka, Chaim Dov ben Menorachel, and Chanalei Abbas Shein Dorachel. And it should be a schos for all those in a makom sakana in Eretz Yisrael. So tonight we're going to continue in the Beis HaLevi on page 15, and we're going to learn about the Mun and what the Mun is supposed to teach us for generations. We talked last time about a person recognizing where things are really coming from. Don't appeal to the stick, appeal to the person holding the stick, and the concept of recognizing who things really are coming from. And to drive this message home, we talk about the Mun, because the Mun is the prototypical example of recognizing that no matter what hishtadlus you're going to do, everything is predetermined and we are not in control of anything. At the same time, nobody can deny us what we are supposed to get. So continuing on page 15 in Perek Vav, he says like this. He says, V'chein be'inyin mizaynaysav shel adam. The same idea applies to a person's mizaynays, what a person makes, what a person lives on. Kol yidiyasai v'hishtadlusai, all of a person's knowledge, a person's efforts, lo yeilu lo me'uma, will not help even a drop, lahadif loyal and nigzar, to gain more, to acquire more, and to benefit him more than whatever was decreed by Hashem. So although when it comes to our parnasa, we all know that we have to put in hishtadlus, we go to work, our spouses go to work, we can't just sit at home and daven and expect that we are going to get results. But the challenge of this world, the sheker of this world, is coming to the realization that what we do is we are a mouse in a wheel, a hamster wheel. We're just running around because we have to, but it's all a mirage. The effort that we put in no way determines the outcome or the results. And the Beis HaLevi himself says that although we're required to work hard to earn a living, but once we did our hishtadlus, there's nothing that can be done to change whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser. And it becomes a little bit challenging. So how much hishtadlus should I be doing? Should I be questioning the things that I do on a day-to-day basis? Rav Wasner himself talked about a savings account. Does a person having a savings account, a retirement account, an insurance policy, is that considered a lack of bitachon? Is that considered not proper hishtadlus? Rav Wasner said that having a savings account is considered doing proper hishtadlus. That is part, it doesn't reflect a lack of bitachon. That's part of doing your normal hishtadlus, is not just accumulating money for today, but also accumulating money for the future. That is also part of a person's hishtadlus. So you're going to tell me up to what point. So I will tell you, I'm not a Paisik, I'm not a Rav. That's something that would have to be answered, and that answer would be on an individual basis. It's not the same answer for each person. So to truly live your life with such a high level of bitachon, where you're able to stop your hishtadlus completely and say, I did exactly what I need to do, and anything further is a waste of time, is obviously a level that we're not going to reach. But nevertheless, that is the idea that we should keep in mind, especially at a time when a parnasa becomes challenging. Maybe there's money that's short, and when we have enough for right now, and we're worried about the future. So maybe a person's making a chasen in a few weeks. Maybe a person has to provide for children. Maybe a person's expecting some sort of additional expense. And so we're worried about what's going to happen in a month, 2 months, 3 months from now, when I need to be able to come up with the money. Worry about today and leave the rest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do your hishtadlus for today and let God worry about what's going to happen in the future. And that's when we're really supposed to channel our bitachon. Is we do our hishtadlus, but our hishtadlus is only for today. What's going to be in the future when we need the money? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu already made a gzeira, and no matter what effort I'm going to put in, I'm not going to change it. If I'm supposed to get that money, I'll get it. And if I'm not supposed to get that money, I won't get it. So how does this tie into the Mun? So the Mun, there's a bunch of nisim that happened by the Mun. But one of the nisim we read about in the parasha, but it completely goes over our heads. It says in the pasuk, like the pasuk says in Shmos and Parshas Beshalach, it says v'loyhedif. It says v'yamaydu v'aymer. They counted the aymer. They measured it, and v'loyhedif hamarbe. Someone who collected more had nothing more va'amamet le'echzer, and someone who took less was not lacking. Basically, when the mon fell, you had two types of people. You had people that collected the minimum amount, basically did a minimal hishtadlus, and when they got home, they had exactly what they needed to feed their families. And then you had the people who were running around and saying, well, I got one mon, you know, one pound of mon. I got to get another pound of mon. I got to get another pound of mon. What if we're still hungry? What if I need for tomorrow? So you had people running around collecting bundles and bundles of mon. And yet the pasuk says, that they, whoever took more had nothing extra, which means that one of the nisim that happened is that you could spend hours collecting tons of mun, but by the time you got to your tent and divided it up amongst your family, you only had enough to give to each person. And that truly is a nis. Imagine collecting $1 million. You collect each dollar individually. So a million times you bend down and you pick up a dollar. And yet when you come to your house and you pull out the bundle of money, suddenly you only have $5 enough, $6 enough for your family. And that's what we're saying happened by the month. People would take bundles and bundles of money. And yet the nace was when they got home, the person who collected more did not have more. And the person who collected less did not have less. So what was the challenge of the mon? The results were exactly the same. The challenge was, how would you act based on that knowledge? You were told, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to get bread every day. And don't leave over till the morning. I promise you, you're going to get enough for tomorrow morning. And there were people that couldn't internalize this. They were running around collecting the mon. And yet at the end of the day, they were taught the lesson over and over again, that no matter how much you're going to collect, there's only going to be enough to give out to your family. And obviously on Friday, there was a double portion because of Shabbos, but each day, every person got exactly what they needed. And that is why, what is the purpose of saying Parshas Haman? Why is Parshas Haman one of the things that we say at the end of davening, right before we go out to work? Because we have to stop and catch ourselves before we get into what I call the hamster wheel of life and the hamster wheel of work, and stop ourselves and say, what am I going to work for? What is it that I'm accomplishing? And recognize that all of the effort you're going to put in at work is going to accomplish zero except checking the hishtadlus box. And no matter how much effort you're going to put in, whether more or less, and I'll talk about less in a second, but no matter how much hishtadlus you're going to put in, you're just checking a box. So you could work 2 hours more than all your friends, and you will end up with exactly the same at the end of the day. Now, when I say less hishtadlus, I don't mean to do below what is required. I don't mean to go to work for an hour and then expect to make $150,000 on a salary that pays $50,000. So that's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about doing less is that you have a 9-to-5 job, and maybe a 9-to-5 job, if you're really, really good at your job, can pay $150,000. But really, most people need to work 9-to-7. So maybe you talk with your Rav, you talk with your Madrich, person who directs you, and you come to the understanding that I feel I have a very strong level of bitachon, and that I want to believe, and I really believe, that at 9-to-5 should be the extent of my hishtadlus. And if that's what all you need to do, then by doing that, you're not going to end up at the end of your day, at the end of your year, with any less money than you were promised. And he says, "V'haman ha'yasim l'dayres, the mon acts as a sign for all future generations. Ki ha'hishtadlus la'yoyo klal la'harbois loy. The hishtadlus does not help whatsoever to get a person more than whatever was decreed." And that really is the key, and that really is the challenge of this world, is that every day we go to work, we have to go to work, but the challenge is to keep in mind that it's not the effort that we're putting in that is actually accomplishing. And many times it looks like it is. Many times it looks like the effort that we put in did lead to results. Okay. You're chasing after a client, you're putting in a lot of effort, you make a nice presentation, and you land the client. And so you could trace back directly your effort to the results. That is such a big challenge. You know, it's easy when, and I said this to the men, when we made a siyum on, we made the last siyum on Shar Bitachon. So we had finished at the same time Melachim in Nach. And I said, I was looking for a Devar Torah that's going to combine Melachim and Bitachon. And really the Venn diagram of where the two cross, it doesn't really exist. Except I did find a fascinating piece from Rev Schwab or Sherman Schwab, who said basically the following. I think it's a Medrash that says that David HaMelech, when he went to battle, so David HaMelech would put in a bunch of effort chasing after his enemies, and he davened to Hashem that he should kill his enemies. And then each successive king did a little bit less. Yehoshaphat did a little bit less, and Chizkiyah did the least of all. Chizkiyah, when he's fighting Sancheirav, which we talked about last time, so Chizkiyah says to Hashem, "Hashem, I'm not even gonna pick up a sword. I'm simply going to say Shiros v'Seshbachos, and I'm gonna go to sleep. Right? Say their night, Pesach night. I'm gonna go to sleep, and you take care of the rest." And as we know, the Malach killed out Sancheirav's army. So on the surface, it seems that Chizkiyahu did a lot less than David HaMelech. Chizkiyahu did a minimal amount of effort. So it seems like Chizkiyahu is on a much bigger level than David, but very hard to say that Chizkiyahu and Yehoshaphat, these are greater than David HaMelech. And the answer was that it's just the opposite. The bigger challenge was for David HaMelech, who was chasing after his enemies and putting the sword in their back, to still believe that everything came from Hashem. When Chizkiyahu goes to sleep and he wakes up and the army's dead, that's not hard to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he did nothing. The challenge is to be David HaMelech and to still have that level of bitachon. And so I said to the men at the time, and I will repeat it here, I said, we were not zoicha to be sitting and learning in Kailo. Whether it's a choice, whether it was pushed upon us based on our family obligations, but we are not able to live a life of learning all day, and I collect a paycheck from the kollel, and somehow my tuition gets paid, and somehow my chasanas get made, and somehow I have a roof over my head. We all go out to work. But I said, we actually have a greater opportunity to accomplish more in terms of bitachon. Why? Because if I would sit in kollel, and I would have story after story of, this investment fell in my lap, and this great uncle left me money in his Yerusha. Story after story. So it's not hard to have bitachon because you put in minimal ishtadlus. And so you see clearly the Yad Hashem. It's a bigger challenge. And this is really the point that I'm getting at. The bigger challenge is all of us who are, whether it's us, our spouses, are putting in the effort to go to work and to still believe that my effort did nothing in terms of the actual result. If you are still able to achieve that, then you have mastered bitachon. And that is much harder to do than I said to people who are sitting and learning in kollel, and somehow they're able to tell you story after story about how they made ends meet. And that really is what we're talking about here, is the lesson of the month. The lesson of the month is that your effort does nothing. You want to collect more, you're still going to come home with the same amount of money. So the Medrash tells us that each day the amount of money that fell was enough to provide for thousands of years, right? Because we said you had people collecting less, and then you had people collecting bundles and bundles. Obviously, if they were collecting bundles and bundles, it had to be a ton of money that was dropped. So every day, enough money fell for thousands of years. But the problem is, why? What's the purpose? If we're saying that all anyone needed was an Omer, and no matter how much you collected, you only went home with an Omer, so what's the purpose of providing such an abundance that's going to go to waste anyway? So in the Michtav Meliyahu, Rebbe Eliyahu Dessler explains beautifully that it wasn't about the actual money, it was about the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach Klal Yisrael. Don't worry that someone else is taking your money. Don't worry that someone else is stealing your parnasa. Someone came and swooped in and took a client. Someone came in and they took your spot, your kid's spot in camp or your kid's spot in yeshiva, and you're all upset. You put in all this effort and maybe you deserve it more, and yet someone came along and took it from you, and it's upsetting and it's annoying and it's frustrating. But the man is teaching you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tons of man. There's tons of man floating around. It's all going to go to waste, just to prove the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it all in his hands. And no one can do anything to take that away from you. So the man was kept in the Aron HaKodesh, in the ark, and that was put next to the Luchos. What was the purpose? Hashem tells Moshe, put away a little bit to be safekeeping. To be a safekeeping, basically that reminder should be there in perpetuity. And again, that's one of the reasons we say Parshas Haman, because it's that daily reminder. We don't have the Aron anymore, but it's that daily reminder of what the Man is supposed to teach us. Years later, near the end of the Churban, right before the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, so Yirmiyahu gives Teichacha to Klal Yisrael. He says, why are you decreasing in your limud haTorah? And instead, you're running after your livelihoods. And he picked up the jar of mun that was in the Aron HaKodesh. And he said, through this, your avos, your forefathers, were supported. So clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to provide a person with his sustenance. So although we're not on a level where we're like the Dara Midbar, where every morning we wake up, we wish we would be on that level, where we'd open our front door and waiting for us would be a nice piece of mun, and boom, we're all set for the day. We're not holding on that level. But still, at the same time, we have to understand that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the mun is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's providing our livelihood. And just like it was obvious to them, it should be obvious to us. The mun should be a sign, the mun should be a guide for generations, that is how we are supposed to live our lives. And to recognize, and again, as I said, the challenge that we have in this world of Sheker is all the effort we put in, and sometimes we can trace the effort to the result, but recognizing that the result really was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this happened to be the way he picked for it to come, but it could have come in a different way. So I'm going to skip that. I just want to bring out one more point over here. So the Gemara tells us that Hashem gave the mun to Klal Yisrael in daily installments. Instead of, why not just give them, you know, one on Aleph Nisan, drop enough for the whole year. Why every day does Klal Yisrael have to go out in their tent, out of their tent, and collect the mun and bring it in? So the mashal that's given is a mashal of a king who he gave his son a yearly allowance. So, you know, many of us have children in yeshiva, children in camp. So when do we hear from our kids? When they need something, right? When they need money. Can you refill? Ma, can you refill my canteen? Ma, can you send me money, right? We all go through this. It's not the, it's the, no one here is unique. So the mashal that the Gemara says is, when the king gave his son the allowance for the year, how often do you think the king saw his son? The Gemara says, never. Because the son had whatever he wanted. When did he come back? He came back the following Rosh Hashanah to collect the next paycheck. So the following year, the king said, I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm going to give him his parnasa just for that day. So that way tomorrow, I want to see my son again. Let him come back and let him collect the check. And that way I'll see him every day. So he says, so the Gemara says, the point from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that every day he wants a check-in from us. He wants us to check in with him to say, where am I getting my parnasa from today? Oh, today it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, could we get enough to live for the entire year from the month? We could, but the idea is that we're getting that daily check-in. So it turns the world upside down in a sense of the following sense. We look at people who have millions in their bank account and we're jealous. We want that too. I want to live a comfortable life. I don't want to have to worry about where my kids are going to be supported from, how I'm going to make chasanas, how I'm going to pay for a seminary. I'd like to have millions of dollars in my bank account too. But what we're saying is that we're really better off not being in that situation. You know why? Because we get to check in with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. Every time we stop and worry, how am I going to pay for the wedding? How am I going to pay for the seminary? How am I going to pay for this expense, that expense? We're checking in with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're getting that daily reminder or that occasional reminder that we need to check in. We need to stop and recognize where it's coming from. And if you have everything you need, then essentially you have the same challenge of the snake, the curse of the snake. What was the snake's curse? That wherever he goes, he's going to eat the dust of the ground. He's going to eat the dust of the ground. So the problem is, what type of curse is that? Wherever the snake goes, he has his meal. But the problem is that he never needs a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Going back to our example, it's the kid in camp who has millions of dollars in the canteen. You're never going to hear from him. He's certainly never getting a letter, but you're never even getting a phone call because he has everything he needs. You're never going to get that check-in. But if we have less, now we have a stronger connection. And so that's, it should give a person chizuk, especially people who are struggling or people who need more to live on and they're struggling to make ends meet or they're struggling to make simchas and afford things. It should give us chizuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a stronger relationship with me and he's creating the opportunity for me to have that that unique check-in with him and I don't have to fall into the trap of saying I have what I need. And so God, you wait on the side. I have enough money in my bank account. You wait over there. When I need you, I'll call you. But, you know, right now, I'm good. I don't need you. There's a story that's brought by the grandson of the Beis Halevi, the Brisker Rav. at the beginning of World War II, where every day he ate the food that he had that day. He lived like the Dor HaMidbar. When he received food, he ate it that day. He had pure bitachon, following his Zaydeh, must have read his Zaydeh Sefer that we're learning. And he had this pure bitachon that, you know what, tomorrow HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide me what I need. 2 days before Yom Kippur, although he had his regular amount of food, he said, I need to save something for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Erev Yom Kippur. I need something to fast. And there's a mitzvah to eat. I can't rely on bitachon for that. And so he put aside half of his meal that day for the next day. So the next day comes, and all of a sudden he gets a knock on his door in the morning. And who's at the door? The baker of Warsaw. And he said, I know that the Rav is going to need more food for the tainis. So I was rushing. I quickly baked a bunch of bread and I cooked a pot of food for the Rav. But as I was running here, I slipped and I fell and I dropped the bread. I'm sorry, I dropped the bread. But here's the soup and here's the rest of the meal. So the Rav said to his son, he said, I realize now it was a mistake to save the food. Had I not saved the bread from yesterday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing it to me. The baker was coming. It would have arrived. And not only that, but he wouldn't have slipped. He slipped because I saved the bread from yesterday. I lost an opportunity to have that bitachon and rely that it was coming to me because it was coming to me anyway. So a person who is like the Brisk Rav should use those moments when you see how it all, we were worried and it all came out okay. We should stop at that moment and try to use that as a lesson that the next time we don't make the same mistake. The next time we should be more assured of ourselves and less worried. Yes, we're concerned. You don't bury your head in the sand. You know, you ask for help if you need help and you ask for advice from friends and you have to lean on people sometimes. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about keep it inside. But what we are saying is that there should be less worry. You should be able to sleep at night because you should be able to recall your own experiences of the 2, 3, 4, 5 times that you were worried and look how it turned out okay in the past. And that's really, you are now following the example of the Brisk Rav. So the Brisk Rav's daughter once turned to him and said, because there's such a shortage of food, the prices are going up. And the Brisk Rav told his daughter something very important. He said, what is decreed on Erev Rosh Hashanah? Not the amount of money a person's going to make. It says, Mizaynoisav shel Adam. Mizaynois, the person's food, which means it doesn't matter what inflation looks like outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide me with my Mizaynois. If the price of bread goes up 100 times, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide me with 100 times to be able to afford the bread. So I don't have to be worried about inflation. I don't have to be worried about what's going on in the world, what's going on in politics. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it all in check. And if my Mizaynoisav at the beginning of the year were decreed to be a certain amount, and it doesn't matter if Kamala is your president or Trump is your president, whatever is decreed, you're going to get in the end. I just want to end off with a beautiful story from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And it's based on the Ramban. The Ramban says that the reason, the Ramban is bothered, why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Aschem, right? Always, we're always saying every time, remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, almost everything we do, we make Kiddush, Zeichel, Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Everything is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What was it about Yetzias Mitzrayim that is so central that we constantly have to bring it up and we constantly have to mention it and it becomes central to our lives every day? We have to remember of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used Yetzias Mitzrayim as the one time in history where he was going to demonstrate his powers openly to the world, for the world to see. There was no camouflage. There was no teva. Everyone saw openly at the Yam Suf, the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a level that even a Shefcha saw, greater than Yechezkel ben Buzi, who saw visions of the Kisei HaKavod. And so they openly saw. That was a one-time deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up pulled back the curtain. Everyone saw Lahavdil. Everyone saw the Wizard of Oz. But now the curtain's back. So the Ramban says, the reason why we were given all these mitzvahs is to constantly remind us that of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is reminding us of what? That Kadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. And even when it's difficult to see, it's a reminder, it's a daily reminder, a constant reminder. Every time we do a mitzvah, every time we make Kiddush, stop and say, what's Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim? A remembrance that God is running the world. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once in an inn, and he noticed that the innkeeper, who used to be very frum, was starting to slack off. He noticed he wasn't so observant in the kashrus, wasn't so observant in davening. So he asked the man, what happened? So the innkeeper explained to Reb Yisrael, he said, you know, a fraya yid came in, someone who was not observant. He took out his egg and cheese, his burger and bacon, lettuce, tomato, and cheese. And he said, if there's a God in the world, he should strike me right now. And he took a big fat bite out of his cheeseburger. So the innkeeper said, it shook me. Is there a God in the world? How does he allow someone openly to defy him like that? He says, it shook my emunah. Okay. So Rabbi Yisrael was talking to him a little bit more. How are things doing? And he says, he mentioned with pride that his daughter had just was an accomplished singer. She just received a certificate that she was one of the top singers in one of the prestigious schools. So Rabbi Yisrael sees the daughter later. So he goes over to the daughter. He says, I'd like you to sing for me. Your father tells me you're a great singer. I want to see for myself. I want to judge for myself if you're a great singer. So the daughter says to him, I'm not going to sing for you. What do I have to prove for you? I have a certificate right here from the most prestigious school that says that I'm an accomplished singer. Who are you? I have to prove it to you. You're a nobody. You don't want to believe me, so don't believe me. But what am I going to waste my time proving it to you? So Rabbi Yisrael turned to the father. He said, listen to what your daughter said. She already proved herself. She doesn't need to prove it every day. Every time someone comes and says to your daughter, prove to me again that you're a singer. Your daughter has to do it again? Obviously not. He says, it's the same as true from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He already proved himself by Yetzias Mitzrayim openly. The whole world saw it. So not every time a little schnook wakes up and decides, I want God to show himself to me, does God have to openly show himself to that person? As long as we remember that lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we see things going on, when we see people openly defying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it shouldn't bother us. Because God already proved himself. And I already know that he's running the world. It was given to my forefather, passed down from generation to generation until our dar, that God created the world. God runs the world. God took us out of Mitzrayim. And that's the proof that lasts forever. And I don't need God to openly demonstrate to me that he exists. I believe it, be'emunah shleima, even though I didn't see it. And so that is why the Ramban explains Yetzias Mitzrayim is so important. Why is it such a focal point? Because of what we're talking about now. When we have these situations where we're nervous, where we're worried, where we're questioning. I think I need to do more shtadlus. I think I need to spend more time at work, even though it's going to take away from my other obligations in life. We have to stop and recognize that God is the same God who brought the man, the same God who took us out of Mitzrayim, is the same God. He spoke to Moshe. He spoke to David HaMelech. He split the Yam Suf. He's the same God that loves each of us and is going and is gives us a guarantee that every day is going to provide for us. That whatever we need, he's going to give to us. The challenge that we have is to connect to him and to remember that. But God loves us, whether we think of him or not, God loves us. It's an unconditional love. Though our challenge is just to keep that in mind. And when the going gets tough, we don't jump ship. And we don't immediately forget everything that we learned. We reinforce it. And we look back at the past to inform us that just like it worked out in the past, it's going to work out again. I have no idea where the Yeshua is coming from, but I believe be'emunah shleima that the Yeshua is going to come and that whatever the best thing is supposed to happen will happen. And hopefully we internalize this and we will be zoche. And I will tell you, it also makes for a happier life. You're less anxious. You have less anxiety. Hashleich al Hashem yahavcha v'hu yichal kalecha. Throw your burden on Hashem and he'll sustain you. He's giving us the opportunity to take our pekala and say, God, this is your problem, not mine. And now you can live with less anxiety. But people have trouble doing that. Because why? Because they don't have a foundation of bitachon. So what we're learning now is so important to create that foundation. And you should review this, especially if you're in a situation, whether it's a big problem or a small problem, but review this and internalize it. Yes, God runs the world. Yes, God gave the money. Yes, God provides every day. And that will provide the foundation that each of us need to live a healthier life, live a better life, and live a much happier life.